We have worked in such a manner, we have struggled to actually ensure that our voices are heard. We have built on what we have in order to deliver and protect ourselves. The clothing sector, it's a predominantly feminine sector. It's a sector that is made of young women. And in Lesotho and Swaziland, most of these young women have left home to the city. And because they have left home to the city, their money must be split between maintaining themselves in the city and maintaining their homelands, and maintaining the family at the home. And because of that, they are susceptible. They find themselves engaged in relationships that are not good in order to ensure that they are able to feed themselves. And I have said in that slide, our struggle has been narrowed. Because every time capital changes, it changes how workers interact with it. When we started as trade union movements, our struggle was every member of your family. When I was a worker, if I'm a worker, if my mother is a worker, the whole family, all of us became trade unionist members. We all became involved because we knew that her work meant our survival. Unfortunately, as the trade, as capital changes, the trade union movement's vision has become tunneled. We now only focus on workplace issues. We no longer bother about what happens when the worker goes out of work. And that's what I mean when I say our vision has been, our struggle has been bled. And because of that, I've done that. There is a question that almost all of us are asking: why should trade union movement be involved in the struggle against AIDS? And the answer is, those are our members. It's us who are dying. And because we are dying, we need to take a stand and mobilize ourselves. Lesotho Project. In Lesotho, the project was built on a venture of partnership. It was the Global Federation that organizes textile, Solidarity Center, the employers, and the different trade unions that were operating in Lesotho, buyers in Lesotho, and different departments, government departments in Lesotho and Swaziland, were brought together in this venture. And the reason why we came together, it's because as we were working, organizing against trying to get the best out of AGOA for our benefits, because AGOA was actually making money easy for other people. But as workers, we also felt that we can benefit. As we were doing that, it came out that we needed, our crisis was around HIV and AIDS. And we built, the project was built on the successes that we had already built, because those relationships had already been established. We built on those relationships in order to ensure that the project was taken forward. And the funding that we got was through Solidarity, and apparently it was given by CDC. The crux of the project was that we got buy-in from all stakeholders. Everybody on the field had to buy in. And when we say everybody, we mean from the top members of the union to the lowest member, from the top manager in the factory to the lowest level of employer or supervisor in the shop floor. And that was important for us because workers, we needed time and we needed workers to trust us. And workers already trusted the trade union movement. They trusted their leaders that we will be looking after their interest. Despite the fact that they knew that the disease was there, but it did not make sense. And when we came in as the trade union movement with all these partners joining hands, in one factory in Lesotho, the employer gave us an hour paid time during which to actually do education. And in that factory, we trained almost 4,000 workers in a period of 6 weeks. We were able to get workers tested by forming partnership with other service providers. PSI did on-site training testing for us, and we were able to have almost 300 workers tested at the same time. And when workers became tested, when others became tested, 60 workers disclosed their status, and a support group was formed on the shop floor. And yesterday, I went to the museum in the Holocaust. I saw people emaciated, pictures of people emaciated by hunger. Those are emaciated by hunger. We have been in contact with our colleagues, our family members in that state out of HIV, out of AIDS. And if we do not put our hands together and fight the scourge, we are going to be having another Holocaust in Africa. In South Africa was slightly different from Swaziland and Lesotho in the sense that we had already in South Africa we had a bargaining council, and because we had a bargaining council, we had employers and trade union movement operating in a controlled environment. SACTU was able to negotiate that each company contributes 20 cents from its payroll towards HIV education. And with the support that we got from funders, we're able to begin a program that currently, at this current moment, that started as an education program on the shop floor and incrementally grew, that today we are offering, we are an accredited site, we have an accredited site for ARV and VCT. The impact of having a VCT site in an industrial clinic that workers trust, with doctors that they trust and health workers and nurses that they trust, that they have built a relationship with, is that workers have seen some of their colleagues that they had given up on return to work. And that has begun to destigmatize HIV and AIDS. Because we now have people come in and say, we're talking about, I want to be rolled in into this program. Because at work, we were talking and I was told that the bargaining council offers ARVs. And they are moving from public health sector and coming into the sector. And we are beginning to have those barriers that divided and made us isolated, that made us deal with the disease as individuals, that eroded the solidarity that we as workers have, that eroded that solidarity to be pushed back. And now people are beginning to talk about it like we are talking about hypertension and diabetes when we work together. And that, to us, it's the greatest thing that we could have done. And we would not have achieved that if we did not get the support of the Solidarity Center. We have challenges. It's not all beautiful. Our greatest challenge is continuity of these programs. The Swaziland and Lesotho program was started, we had a pilot fund. We were given very little money. And we hoped that if the project becomes successful, we were given 50,000 for each country, $50,000. We're able to access 10 factories in each country and reach 5,000 workers. We're able to train peer counselors. We're able to train peer educators in those factories. but the funding ran out. The program is continuing. Where the trade union had actually sacrificed its own organizers to come and work in the project for a period, for the duration of the project, because it was critical for them to ensure that the project reaches its target, and put on hold some of the work that the trade union is doing because we have limited resources. But the funding ran out. And therefore, while education is still happening, because the hope that the project was bringing is fading. People were having hope that we might get help, because accessing queues for treatment and support in government hospitals, as you know, it's too long. Where in Lesotho, if you are going to go to a government hospital, you need 2 days. With the salary that you are earning, you can't afford not to have a pay, lose 2 days' pay. So the sustainability and continuity of the program becomes a problem. Access during working time is also a challenge. The access is that once the worker loses her employment, as the AGOA, after the project started just at the beginning of when the MFA came to an end, factories were closing in Swaziland and Lesotho. Workers were losing their employment. And when they lose their employment, they fall out, go back to where they come from, and continue to become a problem. The reach, the program had a short reach. We could only reach the people, factories that were close by in the Maseru region and in the Manzini area in Swaziland, because we had limited funds. But the nice part of it is that those workers in the shop floor are a community. They form a community of workers, and they go out, they live in communities, that they take the information from here and plant it in the community that they live in. Unfortunately, when they are at work and programs are done in their communities, they are not there, they miss out. What our greatest challenge in the project is balancing power relation in relationships. For we still are experiencing problems in the sense that it's still difficult for most of our women to say no to unprotected sex in stable relationships, despite the fact that they know their partners might not be faithful. We're still unable to, because there are no centers that they would go to. We have a colleague who's a trade unionist that actually lost her children to her husband, because her husband came and took her children and went to South Africa. And when we went to the police to report, they said, "You are a woman. You don't have children. Children belong to your husband." And those are some of the challenges that we still find ourselves in terms of balancing power. We're balancing power not only within the families, but within the society. The language that the society still use is still discriminating, still making the woman feel undermined. We have a term that in Zulu that says, if you are a man, you are macho when you have more than one partner. If you are a woman, you are a slut. So those things undermine. Some of our STI clinics are still called emasogeni. My literal translation would areas, centers of macho men. And if you're a woman, where do you go? And our achievements are as they stand. I want to go to the last slide and I can't. If we, in fact, we have chosen for this AIDS Day, it's the World AIDS Day, we have chosen a theme that says, take action, take control. And we have chosen to use a white t-shirt, because we believe that when you are wearing white, You choose where you sit, and you choose where you stand, and you choose who touches you. And that's the message that we want to carry through, that the only way we can is for us, we can be able to push back the frontiers of HIV and AIDS. It's to wear white. It's to be white. Literally to be white. Treat ourselves as if we are wearing white, so that we determine where we sit. We determine who touches us. And with this, I would like to say, as workers, we will keep the flag of workers. It's black, it's red, it's stained with our blood from the impact of globalization, occupational health, and now HIV. Yeah, traitors would laugh at us and say this is an African issue. But we will keep the fight going on. And you are not safe until we are all free. Viva the struggle, viva. Viva.
Thank you, Cookie. I myself have had a chance 2 years ago when I was in Durban to see some of the great educational programs that her union is putting on, and they are really innovative and self-containing, interesting, and really capture your heart. So I can tell you from firsthand experience that her work is truly remarkable. Our next panelist is Esther Ogunfowore. And Esther is a registered and practicing nurse as well as a midwife in Nigeria. She is a trade unionist and a social activist and has a special interest in struggling for the rights of men and women workers and of marginalized groups, such as people living with HIV/AIDS, adolescent groups, street children, the elderly, the disabled prisoners, and displaced persons. Her union is the National Association of Nigerian Nurses and Midwives. She is also a trained HIV/AIDS counselor, and she is trained in not only counseling but care and management. Her professional and practical skills have been demonstrated while coordinating programs, developing institutional policies, managing programs, and facilitating and supporting HIV/AIDS trainings in voluntary counseling and confidential testing, in care and support, and in prevention of mother-to-child transmission. She is currently employed as the HIV/AIDS coordinator for the Nigerian Labor Congress that represents more than 4 million Nigerian workers. Esther has worked closely with the Solidarity Center HIV/AIDS program for some time now, and I hope you will join me in welcoming her as our next panelist. Esther?
In Nigeria, we say great Nigerian workers, but I say great Nigerian, great workers of the United States, because I know all of you must belong to one working environment or the other, whether you work from home, wherever you are working from, in as much as you earn a living. You may not belong to a union, but the most important thing is that you work to earn a living. And so you are a worker. I say welcome to you. Thank you very much for the opportunity given to me today to represent my country, Nigeria. And I say thank you very much to Cynthia and everyone that has made this work. The Nigerian Labor Congress is a body that represents, a federation that represents over 4 million Nigerian workers. I have sat around today to hear some of the presentation, and I know that the organized labor in the United States is not even up to this. And I think that is a challenge. But why we are up to 4 million workers is also because we are a very, very big population. And you will notice that the response around HIV/AIDS in terms of Nigeria Nigeria has been declared as one of the critical countries in terms of HIV and AIDS. And you keep wondering. It is because we have 4% of 120 million Nigerians, which amounts to about 3 million Nigerians that are infected with HIV/AIDS. And that put together is even more than Lesotho and Switzerland as a country. That is two countries put together, and we still have some remaining. And you can know why Nigeria is very critical. my colleague has talked in the area of the movements, what are we doing as labor movements? And from the presentations today, I have seen that the world is actually a global village. The challenges before the labor movements, before the workers world over, have been the same. And so the situation of the Nigerian worker is not different from the situation of the workers in the United States. The only difference between us now is the prevalence of HIV and AIDS and the challenges that HIV and AIDS has brought to us. I'll be talking from the perspective of the healthcare provider. And I'll ask a question. Please, I need an answer. How many of you here seated has been very close, and I may hold in your hands someone who has been sick and down with AIDS? With the hands that I see up, we're not up to 10%. And that amounts to the kind of response that we are going to give to HIV and AIDS in every policy and every implementation that we want to put forth to help Africa. If you are not there, if you have not been close to somebody who is HIV, who has AIDS, then you have not started. And you cannot know the passion at which labor movements the passion at which we are taking in responding to the HIV pandemic. I'll talk as a mother. I will talk as a nurse. I will talk as somebody who has worked in the field. And I'll tell you the reality on ground in Nigeria. So a few years back, I almost gave up my job. In fact, I told myself, Esther, you can continue here. Because I am a nurse that will want to work with passion. Nursing is about loving. Nothing is about touching your patient and giving healing to your patient with your hands. It's different from the pharmacist that has to give you drug and from the doctors that has to prescribe it. It's different from the person who will give you chemicals and other things to make you well. I mean, nothing is about touching you, caring. Thou art the nurse I used to be on the field. I want to touch you. I want to feel my passion. But when HIV/AIDS came, I saw the challenges before me. And I told myself, Esther, you're not going to survive here. You better quit. At the point I was about to take that decision, then the fourth National Conference on HIV came. Then I was the chairperson of the Nigerian Labour Congress in the whole of the Federal Capital Territory, just like Washington. And the Solidarity Center picked me to attend that program. I saw that program as a privilege. I went there. That didn't change things. I came back. I was battling within myself. Though I was still going to work, but I was wondering, will I continue here or do I quit? Then another training came on capacity building. That is universal precaution, assessing your vulnerability at work. Still same Solidarity Center. And I was picked to attend that program. And that was the program that turned around my life. I went to that program on my way coming back to Abuja because it took place in Kaduna, about 2.5 hours drive from Abuja where I lived. And I looked at it. I'm going back to the workplace. Out of over 2,000 nurses in the workplace in the Federal Capital Territory Hospital, I am the only one that is privileged to be trained. What impact am I going to make in the workplace? Training myself alone cannot change things there. Because if you enter the hospital then, you could just tell from a corner that this is an AIDS patient. Because there is a divide. The healthcare provider do not want to go close to the AIDS patient. They don't want to treat them. If they are lucky that their family has not abandoned them, then the healthcare provider will communicate with the family, ask them to give drug as at when due, but will never go close to the patient. And that, you'll agree with me, is stigma. And we analyzed it and said, if stigma does not change with the healthcare provider, then we have not started the work. I went back to the Solidarity Center 2 days after. And I told the director then, and I said, I want to make a change. I want to cause a turnaround in my place of work. I want the capacity building that I've received to also touch hundreds of nurses in the workplace, at least, so that people living with HIV/AIDS will find home, will find support, will find care, and will find love. Thank God they agreed with me. We put up a proposal quickly, and we targeted 120 healthcare providers. But I bet you, the very first week we started the training, we targeted 25 participants. We got 35 participants after turning away others. The program that was supposed to meet 120 participants in 4 weeks, we were able to train 341 participants. That is to tell you the essence at which people are craving for knowledge as far as HIV/AIDS is concerned. If you get to the Federal Capital Territory today and you get to the hospital, you find out that the scenario I gave to you in terms of finding somebody who is HIV positive at the corner will never be there, because you can't tell again that this person has HIV or this person has AIDS. All of them are mixed together because there is no longer stigma and discrimination in the workplace. And this was brought about by the Solidarity Center intervention. If I didn't get that training through the labor movement, I bet you the workplace will remain the same. And thousands of our people will continue to die by the day, not only because of the disease, but because of stigma and discrimination in the workplace. I left that place recently and I went to another hospital. Getting there, I met a patient on the stretcher outside, and he has been there for the past 2 days. I looked at him. In fact, I wanted to go to church on that day. And something just told me, why don't you visit a friend in this hospital? And I went there, and I saw the man on the stretcher, abandoned by his family. And I asked, oh, what is wrong with him? And they said, no, the doctor saw him, his family abandoned him, we've not seen them for the past 2 days. Yet he has not eaten for the past 2 days. I said, okay, the first thing is for this man to eat. We gave him food. He ate. And I said, why can't we find a place for him in the hospital? I mean, admit him upstairs. They said, no, we don't have enough bed to keep him because he's going to stay for a very long time. And I said, no. I stayed there. I made sure that this man, we saw the chairman of the hospital. We made sure the man was admitted. We got his drug and everything. And at the end of the day, I think 3 days later, the man died. And you know what? They said, Esther, what have you done? And I said, one thing that I've done here, I have made this man to die a peaceful death. And if that is all I've been able to provide him, I am happy. I'll go home a happy person. That is the challenges that HIV/AIDS has brought to us. That is the kind of work in which we find ourselves. And I was happy yesterday during the opening session when Lorraine Garrett said one thing, that the health system in the United States is not working. Yes, it is not working. You take most of our people from Africa to come here to work for you. It is still not working. But you know the crisis you create out there? You're going to create a lot of crisis in our health system back there in Africa. As you take our people and refuse to build our capacity in terms of training and managing what the crisis that we are confronted with in terms of HIV and AIDS, you are putting workers into a situation that they cannot handle, yet with a minimal pay. When you take our people, you should also go back to build the capacity of the few that are there. Every day we have reinfection. You have at least 6% that is reinfected on a daily basis. And every day you move our people up here. You deplete our capacity. Aside from that, the ones that do not have the capacity to be trained are also reinfected in the workplace. And there is no provision for their care. in the next few years, the money that is being sent to Africa will be turned into tools to treat our people. Because those money will mean nothing if you do not build the capacity of our people, if you not give us access to everything that you have here and turn around our situation and make our environment more conducive for workers to be able to stay. Make sure that our government have policies that will make our people to stay to take care of their people. If you don't do that, you have not started. It means you are assisting us and you are killing us. I hope you'll be able to know that even with all this and the little training we've been able to do from the labor perspective, that we are faced with a lot of challenges. And I appeal to your conscience in here. There are many of you that has not been able to see or feel or have somebody very close with HIV/AIDS. You visit the Holocaust Museum and you can see a picture of how it is. That if you don't assist us, assist the few organizations that support us, you have not started. And when we have crisis over there, China will not be enough to produce the cures that we come here. Thank you very much.